What if someone's first steps in discipleship depended on you? God has brought us into community. We have lots of different people in this church family, and together we take responsibility for one another's discipleship. We're able to speak into each other's lives. We're able to encourage one another. But what if it depended upon you? Around the world, Christian brothers and sisters who are facing extreme persecution will often be put into a position where their church leader, their elders, their pastors, they may be imprisoned, arrested or imprisoned for their faith. And the leadership, the responsibility for the discipleship of other people lands very much on the individual and not on the leaders. I wonder, what would happen if we had that here? That the leaders, the people that we look up to, the pastors, the elders, what if they were taken out of the equation and the discipleship of people within this church family, but also the early steps of discipleship for the people in this community, if the responsibility of that was laid on each of our feet, laid at each of our feet? I wonder how we would feel. Maybe you would feel overwhelmed. Maybe you would feel excited, not because of the situation, but you're finally being given the responsibility of discipling someone, of introducing them to Jesus and helping them meet with him and become more like him and encounter him as you look at scripture and pray together and encourage one another and hold each other to accountability and say, well, what is Jesus calling you to do? Now do it. And how are you getting on with that? How are you growing to be more like Jesus since the last time we met? Maybe some of those things would excite you. Maybe it would fill you with a bit of fear. Now, I ask these things not to make you feel pressured, but as a church, we have a vision of multiplying fully devoted disciples of Jesus. And that means that it cannot be dependent on the pastor, the elders, the ministry leads. It needs to be something that each of us participate in, and each of us are equipped, ready to be disciples and not just be people who come to church or people who are discipled. But we all need to be people who are disciplers. Over the last few weeks, as we've gone through the series, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, I wonder if you've just received the input and the sessions that we've done in small groups. Or whether you've actually taken it as a chance to grow in being equipped and ready to disciple someone else. The format has been that we're not just sharing with each other, but we're exploring it so that we can train someone else to be a disciple of Jesus in a way that helps them disciple someone else and train them up to be a disciple of Jesus and so on. So we've gone through different topics, different commands, instructions of Jesus to repent and believe, to pray, to love, to persevere, to make disciples, to give, to gather in community. I wonder if you would be ready, if you are ready, to help someone else explore these things so that they grow as a disciple and they're equipped to train someone else. Our last command of Jesus, our last instruction of Jesus is taken from Luke chapter 22, and it's in a narrative which we will know as the Last Supper. And it's really appropriate that we end with this narrative, this instruction of Christ as we approach Easter. In verse 19, we read, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We're going to take some time in groups exploring these verses and the verses around them in a moment. But just before we do that, I want to just quickly go through the ways that the Church of Jesus over the years, in different traditions of the church, different denominations, have interpreted what's going on in these elements of bread and wine, and how they in their churches, how we in our church would interpret what is happening. For Roman Catholics, they would believe that the bread and the wine become Christ's actual body and blood when we receive it. So we're actually receiving Jesus. The Eastern Orthodox Church would believe similar, but they wouldn't go as far to say how they become Jesus' body and blood. They would just say it is a mystery. But when we have this meal, we're meeting and eating and drinking Jesus. For Baptists and similar evangelical kind of organization, not organizations, denominations and traditions around the world, it would be seen traditionally as a mere symbolic or symbolism of the bread and the wine being Je symbols of Jesus' body and blood. And it's a time to obey Christ and remember him and his death until he comes again. But it's not necessarily, in some of those traditions, not necessarily a time of encounter or of receiving Christ. It's just remembering him. And the Anglican community, Anglicanism around the world, would have a range of different views, but they would not just see it as a symbolic thing, but also a spiritual thing where Christ meets with his people somehow. And that then leads us to the kind of Lutheran and also the Reformed or Calvinistic approach or tradition, where the Lutherans and Calvinists and Reformed theologians and traditions would say the plate with bread on and the cup with wine or juice in, they're symbols of Jesus's body and blood, his body broken and his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. But it's not just a symbolic meal because Christ, by his Holy Spirit, presents himself amongst his people through the meal. And Christ, by his Spirit, meets with his people. Now, I would put myself in that last tradition or camp. From my reading of scripture and also my personal experience, I see that it's a symbol of his body and blood, but it's also an opportunity when we share bread and wine to spiritually encounter Christ, to go deeper with him, and to meet with him in a deep way. I've shared before how there was an occasion where I was serving communion in the old building, and we were using these kind of chalices, and I'd given everyone a sip of the wine. And then just as I was about to take a sip, I just sensed Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, say, "Drink deeply of me, drink deeply of my grace, drink deeply of my love." And I drank, similar to the priests in the Roman Catholic Church and Anglican churches, where they finished the glass, and it was drinking deeply, and it was a powerful moment of encountering God and being refreshed in his love. And there were tears coming down my face because it was a moment not just of remembering Christ, but of encountering him through communion. I wonder what tradition you would put yourself in, or maybe where you've come from, or what you believe happens when we share bread and wine. I believe it is a place where we can encounter Jesus, a place where we can come in repentance and receive renewal. It's a place where we can come with our disbelief and have our belief, our faith, refreshed and renewed by him. It's a place where we can give Christ our sins afresh and be forgiven by him. It's a place where we can receive fresh strength for the day and hope for the future. In a moment, you're going to be working in groups and exploring this passage in Luke chapter 22, seeing what it says about God, about us, and the things that we can do and be as a result of it. And then once you've done that, at the right time, you'll be able to share communion with one another and come to the table or tables around the room, and you'll be able to receive from one another bread and juice. And I want you to actually serve one another. Some of you may be from a church tradition where it's got to be the priests who serve, the vicars, the pastors, the elders, those who are commissioned to do it or qualified to do it. I don't see that in scripture. I don't see that role of only those who can wear a dog collar or those who can wear robes being the only ones that can lead people in communion. I see it as an instruction of Jesus to remember him and an invite of Christ to encounter him. And that can be done by anyone who loves Jesus and wants to love him more. It can be done by anyone who is seeking to be a disciple of Christ and to be someone who helps disciple others. Let me pray just before you break off into groups. Father God, we thank you for the symbols of bread and juice. And I pray that in these moments ahead, it will be a time of encountering you, growing closer to you, and a time of refreshing and renewal. Be with us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.